We're going to hear from three different members of the Joint Use Planning Committee who have, that's why we don't have that stuff in here, who have taken part in the process. And I don't know what particular order it is. Who wants to go first? Does the town want to go first? You can. We're going to hear from the town of Searsport. We'll then hear from a member of the conservation community. Who is that going to be? Mr. Dickinson. And a member of the transportation community who is also on the Joint Use Planning Commission committee, and that would be Mr. Grinrod of the Maine Montreal Atlantic Rail Service. So, without further ado, would someone from the town come up? And I think if you just press that button, the light will come on. I hope there it goes. Thank you. Welcome, sir.
Good morning. I'm James Gilway. I'm the town manager for the town of Searsport. I've also had the fortunate pleasure of residing in the town of Searsport for the past 23 years and also being able to make my living there as the town manager and before that the police chief. Like everyone in the state of Maine, the residents of the town of Searsport have been patiently waiting for some decisions to be made on the future of Sears Island for many decades. Unlike many in the state, we have the pleasure of being able to see the island every day. We felt the pinch in our wallets when the island was taken off the tax roll several years ago. We have endured numerous protests and complaints and are still very patient and optimistic about the future of Sears Island. Over the past several years, our citizens are starting to see some progress in the future of Sears Island. Our processes, starting with the town SIOC group, and then the SIPI, and more recently the JUPC, have shown to everyone that we can all work together. Every meeting throughout the process has been held in the open, and everyone who wanted to speak were given the opportunity to do so. This has helped to ease an unsettling feeling amongst our taxpayers, and that feeling's been there since the beginning. Our Board of Selectmen are very supportive of this end result. We have paved the way for the town to work with many different, as yet unnamed, groups who may come forward to manage the conservation side of the island and its possible buildings. We look forward to these relationships. Our board clearly accepts and welcomes the Maine Coast Heritage Trust as a partner to oversee the conservation of the island. During the process, we did address the issue of potential revenue for the town. There is a possibility of seeing payments in lieu of taxes on any buildings that might be built, whether they're nonprofit or not. There's clearly a secondary tourism dollar that will enter the area as a result of the enhancement to the conserved portion of the island. We should see anywhere from 3 to 10+ jobs directly created by the easement, depending on what type of activities come forward for the conservation side. Our region needs as many jobs as we can muster, whether it's 1 or 100. We are intrigued at the potential for the education opportunities of the conservation portion of the island, and we are confident that there are people looking forward to exploring these. This resolution paves the way for the future intermodal transportation projects of the remaining portion of Sears Island when the needs are shown. The resolution has created a new attitude and has hushed some of the naysayers who insist that nothing will happen on Sears Island. And in closing, I just wanted to add, I also had the pleasure of riding out here today with...
Where's she at?
Sarah Bradford, the chair of the Stockton Springs Select Board, and a great conversation about how positive this is for both communities and for the region. And I wanted to express that that she let us know that on the way out. So,
thank you, Mr. Gilway. I'd ask you if you would stay at the podium. And what I'm going to do is I give the members of the committee an opportunity to ask questions of each rather than have the three presentations and then bring them back and forth. And so may I start it off by, you used the phrase at some point in your presentation there was an unsettling feeling. I think within the, you used it in the context of some of the people within your town of Searsport. And I guess I ask, was that, in your estimation, was that unsettling feeling because people really didn't know what was going to happen? I mean, at the very beginning, I know that there were talks about nuclear power plants and LNG facilities and every other kind of imaginable thing. Once that those rumors were allayed, did that unsettling feeling settle?
Well, I think the unsettling feeling that I refer to is the fact that nothing has happened. We seem to be at a standstill for many, many years. It's the coffee shop factor.
Yep.
When you walk in, when I would walk in as a police chief or now as a town manager, I would always be inundated with the question, what are you doing? What's happening? Now that I've been in the process and involved with the JUPC, it's just exacerbated. Everyone comes and says, what's happening? I wish something would happen. And they're seeing that we're making some progress through this. And even the coffee shop reports that are they're much briefer than you're going to get today say, look, we have a group of people. They're very diverse. And they're meeting the challenge, and they're coming to an agreement. And that's very positive. From the folks that I speak to, my neighbors, they're very happy to see something moving forward.
Thank you, sir. You mentioned also in your remarks three groups, and I think you referred to them as SEAC, SIPI, and the JUPC. Those were all, give us a little bit of a background of what those were.
Starting with the SEAC group, Sears Island Alternative Use Committee, was a town-born committee. It was asked that the town put it together by, I believe, the governor. And the town chose people, they had volunteers come forward and chose people to actually look at what can happen on Sears Island beyond the deadlock, the standstill. That was our first group. I believe they met for 2 years. Diane Smith was the chair of that group. That evolved, and it finished its task and had a series of acceptable performance items. Things that could go on the island. That moved into the SIPI,
yep.
Sears Island Planning Initiative. Excellent. And through that process, it was defined even closer. And all but, I believe, one of the objectives or one of the acceptable items was met by that process through an independent process that took place. And that turned eventually into what we had over the past year and a half of the JUPC, Joint Use Planning Committee.
Mm-hmm. And the culmination of that committee's work is the report that's before us today.
Yes.
Any other questions of Mr. Gilway, Representative Hogan?
Thank you, Senator. Mr. Gilway, first of all, if your coffee shops are anything like my coffee shops, everything is solved.
Yes.
You had mentioned at some point, and it might have slipped by me, about jobs created. I agree, I believe, right?
Yes.
And how many did you give us?
Well, this was the result of basically Diane and myself kind of counting numbers. We feel that one of the things that will be provided for Sears Island that's not there now is some level of management of the land. There's currently a gate. The gate is painted with all types of hand spray paint saying no parking, and someone changed it to no barking. And I recently took a walk on the island, and there's no management there. There's a TV on the trail. I mean, I don't know why someone would carry it, you know, a mile and a half onto the island and dump it, but it wasn't there before. There's the need to have some level of management on the island, and we foresee that that's potentially going to be maybe as many as three people. They may not be posted there, but somewhere along the line, somebody's got to take that that control. And it might just be the addition of responsibility to another job, but we feel that likely there will be three.
Okay.
Thank you.
Someone else had a question? Representative Thomas and then Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Gilway, if I read this document correctly, the town of Searsport will receive a payment annually of 7% of the value of this, at least the educational facility. Is that correct?
It's in the document as a recommendation.
Okay. 7% would equal a mill rate of 70, and that's a lot higher than any of the property taxes that I know of anywhere in the state of Maine. And I'm wondering, are we plowing some new ground here? I mean, I can think of lots of towns that have lots of nonprofit real estate that receive nothing in taxes. And I'm wondering if that precedent holds, if that would be a major hurdle to get over in developing any port facility on that island, if that were to transfer to the other property that were to be constructed.
Searsport has more than its fair share of nonprofit properties, and one in particular is the Penobscot Marine Museum, and I believe our number was partially born from that. They do pay us a revenue in lieu of taxes, and I believe that's where that number may have came from. There may be someone that knows more, but I'm not sure.
Yeah. And Representative, I think probably the 7 is referring to 7 mills, or am I wrong on that?
I think in the report it says 7%.
Perhaps it was misstated.
But it might have been.
I'm just reading from the report. I was just trying to find it, and I should have underlined it. I didn't.
Good point. We more or less have a precedent set in Searsport where the Penobscot Marine Museum already pays in lieu of taxes. So we kind of already have a number in place. So.
One of the towns that I represent, and this is why it troubles me so much, one of the towns that I represent has state property that is equal to more than all of the rest of the real estate in town, and they get a pittance. $1,000 or $2,000 a year. And I'm thinking of all the towns in the state of Maine. I think of the very valuable coastal property that the town of Searsport has, that, and the towns in my area have tree growth, and they have open spaces that we have to give tax breaks from. And I just it's another advantage that towns, high-value towns have, and it troubles me. And then I look at it as a hindrance, because I'd like to see a port on that island someday. And if we've got this type of trail breaking, if you will, going on, then I see that as another hindrance, and it troubles me.
Thank you, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you, Mr. Gilway, for coming. I'm very interested in hearing that the citizens support this. Now, you've stated they support a cargo port and probably a railroad extension. To me, that's a very important group that I want to make sure are going to support any port development. So I think that that's a real important key, is the fact that are they going to, when the time comes that we're going to talk about licensing a port, are they going to be, if there are distractors, are they going to be on our side and realizing that we have to see the plans first. But I'm hoping that if we're going to have a cargo port development there, and a railroad line extension that will have the support of the local people. I think that's very key.
Thank you. Any other? Senator Diamond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Mr. Gilway.
Good morning. I'm
curious, from your point of view and the town's point of view, what would happen if this agreement is not confirmed today? What are the consequences?
For about an hour and 15 minutes, we talked about that from Searsport to Augusta. And it's interesting. We don't have a solution. The LD 277 kind of clearly says that you're going to, you know, approve or deal with the future of Sears Island for transportation. I don't know where we go. It's really in the DOT's hands at that point, I believe, to kind of reformulate what will happen. Today's meeting will be important to us.
Would you see any danger of it just unraveling and dissolving, as it were?
Well, I see a lot of our, as I spoke to our naysayers who lived in town for many, many, many years, maybe even grew up there, who have seen nothing happen, just getting another plug-in saying, look, it didn't work. And a process like this is long and hard, and a lot of people put a lot of effort into it with all good intention. And it'll give some strength to those that want to shoot us down all the time.
Thank you, Mr. Gilway.
Other questions? If we could, then I'd like to move on to the next. Thank you again.
Thank you,
Mr. Gilway. Is there a preference between Mr. Dickinson and Mr. Grinrod? Who would like to go first? Then, Mr. Dickinson, would you come up, please?
The thickness of the pile of papers I brought up here has little to do with the brevity of the report I'm going to make. I would really like to focus most of my time with you answering your questions to the extent that I can. I'm Scott Dickerson. I'm the Executive Director of Coastal Mountains Land Trust. We're a land conservation organization that conserves working farms and forests, wildlife habitat, scenic vistas, access to water, access to trails, and natural lands throughout the western side of Penobscot Bay. I participated in this process from the beginning of what has been acronymed now as SIPI, the Sears Island Protection, Sears Island Planning Initiative. And I want to just take a moment to emphasize the character of that particular process. This was a group of more than 40 representatives of industry, of transportation interests, of town officials, state agencies, just general community groups, conservation organizations, a very broad array of people who have had a long interest in Sears Island from around the state and locally. We spent about 18 months in a very intensive analysis of documents, information, thoroughly evaluated all the options from conservation through development of a port. It was not casual, and it was not always fun. They were the intense negotiations, intense disagreements at times. It was not always a pretty process. But it did come to a consensus agreement, amazingly enough, in many of our perspectives. I don't think we imagined we would get there. 38 of those 40-some people signed on to that agreement. Representatives from all sides of the table agreed to that consensus agreement. And from that agreement came the directive to form the Joint Use Planning Committee to bring forth to you recommendations about how to implement that agreement. And that's what you have before you in the final report. I guess we used up all of our negative energy, in a sense, in the Sears Island Planning Initiative process, because the Joint Use Planning Committee actually proceeded with a very clear mission, and maybe that's why we work so effectively, towards the recommendations that you have before you. We divided the baby. As you can see from the maps in the plan, the outcome of our work was to determine a 600-acre area that could be in conservation and a 330-acre area that could be for future port development. That was one of the key difficult hurdles throughout our process, was determining, first, should that be done, and second, how. And when we did that, we then moved on to the drafting of the conservation easement to be held by Maine Coast Heritage Trust if you approve this process. That conservation easement allows for the potential development of a small portion of the island with a small set of buildings for environmental education, management and maintenance of the conservation land, and taking care of the resources on the property. About a year before the Sears Island Planning Initiative started, a group of parties interested in the island and the future of the island engaged various consultants to do a study of exactly what has now come to be proposed here. We were interested not only in how this might be planned as conservation land, but also what would be the economic impact to the community. Through our study, which was done by Charles Lawton of Planning Decisions and was peer-reviewed by, let's see who did the peer review, I guess Catherine O'Reilly from, who's the state economist with the Sears Island Planning, with the State Planning Office, peer-reviewed this study, and a professor, David Vail from Bowdoin, also peer-reviewed the study. So it was not something we came up with one night in our imaginations. The capital investment of the improvements on this conservation land through this analysis will amount to about $1.1 million. We expect this, after an analysis of use of state parks in western Penobscot Bay, we expect to see around 20 to 25,000 visitors annually to this conservation land. Camden Hills State Park, you may know, gets about 160 to 200,000 visitors a year as a nearby park. There are other smaller parks that receive smaller levels but are concomitant with the size of 20-some thousand visitors. The economic activity to be generated by those visitors will represent about $1.7 million in annual economic activity in the upper Penobscot Bay region. And through our study, I will say that we estimated that there would be up to six staff people involved in management of this conservation land. And some of them would be employed by what you see in your documents as the management entity, so-called. That would be the entity that manages the facilities and the environmental education program and maintains the conservation land. That's to put some numbers to what James was talking about a few moments ago about economic activity for the town of Searsport and the upper Penobscot Bay area. I think I'll conclude simply by saying that we've seen 40 years of stalemate on this island. When I came to Maine as an adult in the early 1970s, we'd already gone through one rather brutal public process trying to determine the future of that island and its use. We've seen many since then. This was an opportunity to come to an answer to that, to give some clear guidance towards the future about the future uses of Sears Island, which will both be beneficial to the immediate area and, we believe, to the state of Maine. So I'd like to take questions if you have any.
Thank you, Mr. Dickerson. Questions for Mr. Dickerson? I'll start with Representative Thomas and then Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Dickerson, you talk about $1.1 million in the education center on the island and the visitor center.
Capital investment.
And when I read Section 12, I read that the grantor, which that the grantor is the state and the holder is the Maine Coast Heritage Trust, correct?
Correct.
Okay, it says that the responsibility of the grantor to bear all costs. Am I reading that right? That the state of Maine would end up building this educational center, this visitor center, and maintaining it and paying the liability?
No, you're not quite reading that correctly, and let me come back to this. This is a sort of a technicality of drafting of a conservation easement. All conservation easements place upon the continuing owner of a property the responsibility to bear the costs of the property, whether they're taxes or surveys or clearing safety hazards from trails or whatever they may be. However, this easement also, the grantor becomes larger than the original grantor of the easement, which in this case would be the state of Maine through the Department of Transportation. The grantor extends to those agents of the grantor, which in this document is referred to as the management entity. that management entity will ultimately be the group, the organization, the agency that builds and creates this set of buildings, these facilities on the property. I very much doubt that it will be the Maine Department of Transportation. I also very much doubt that it will be any agency of the state of Maine that actually constructs the building. They will do so under a management agreement with the state.
It's Section 12. Mm-hmm. And it says that the grantor...
Are you referring, Representative, to this document?
This is the document the first one that I received. I believe it's the same as this one.
I'm just trying to find
it. I printed it. It's a download the email, and I've underlined those places, and I've been through this back and forth.
So is it number?
This was 18 of 48, but that's, again, it's the email. I don't know that it helps.
Commissioner? The document contains two documents.
Right. Thank you. So is the Section 12 to which you're referring?
Yes, the heading is cost, taxes, and liability.
I'm with you. Thank you.
And it's the second sentence, and I'll read that if you'd like. It says grantor, and then it's parentheses, or grantors, agents, tenants, licensees, as the case may be, and any land management entities, and not the holder, shall be responsible. Just a second. Lost my place here. Shall retain all responsibilities and shall bear all costs. And one of the listed items of costs are improvements. And so the way I read that is the grantor or the state of Maine, the taxpayers in the state of Maine, could end up with the responsibility of maintaining the buildings out there, building and maintaining them.
Excuse me just one second. That would be an interpretation, but Mr. Dickerson mentioned also or grantors, agents, tenants, and licensees. They also could be this. And so I understand your concern, and I certainly don't think that we can be saddled with, if I can use that term, the expenses of maintaining that facility as a state. But I also am I'm comforted to know that those obligations, financial responsibilities, may be borne by, and I say may, because I don't know of any group that has come forward at this particular point in time, but I do know of interest within numerous groups, and I have a certain amount of confidence that they will emerge and that something will be done. But I recognize your concern, and I think it should be for the record that you would be opposed to having the state as we know it, either have to build or to maintain those facilities.
Okay, maybe I'm asking the wrong purpose. Maybe Mr. Dickinson isn't the right person to ask, but I wanted to get that out in the open, and I want to make sure that the taxpayers of Maine aren't obligated by this agreement. And it looks like to me they might be obligated under an interpretation. And I have some more questions, if I could, then we'll go on to this later.
Yep, that's fine, and I think that I could agree that might is the operative word, and is one that causes you concern. Do you care to add anything to that, Mr. Dickerson?
No, I think the language in the easement does fully cover it. I think if I had pointed out anything else, that to build such facilities would, I assume, take an act of the legislature, which would have control over the budget of doing so since they're state funds, and the legislature would have that opportunity to step in and determine that that wasn't an appropriate allocation of state dollars. But I will say that all of the intent in this easement is that there will be a third-party so-called land management entity, not the Department of Transportation, that takes on this whole function of management and maintenance and construction of this facility. You will note in your report also that there's an advisory council towards the end of the report about a group to advise on the management of this land that would review the management plans in a truly advisory capacity, but the Department of Transportation would retain full control over the actual decisions of that management.
Thank you, sir. Representative Thomas.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. How can I be sure that this educational facility doesn't become a resort, a private playground for the elite from all kinds of different nonprofit organizations. I see that there's going to be a dock in here. I can see the possibility of people coming here with their yachts and docking and then staying at this facility as a, and I don't, and I've looked through the agreement, and I'm not a lawyer, but there have been other conservation easements that end up being the private playground of various people. Let me put it that way. And I just, I don't want to see public property used in that way, the way it has been in some other places. Is there a place in here where I can be assured that's not going to happen?
Well, I think there's several places in the document that should give you some reassurance. Keep in mind that the conservation easement is a guidance document about the uses. It has to say what can be allowed. It does not prescribe what will occur. And though it does allow a dock, that doesn't say there must be a dock. A dock may or may not be built. The easement simply allows that dock to be built. I might add that that dock and its design was a close consultation with the harbor master of the town of Searsport to determine what would be effective for the town's interests in navigation into this area in the future. In regard to an exclusivity or an elitism of this property, this property is owned by the state of Maine. It's under the jurisdiction of the Department of Transportation. The department will control whether or not this becomes in some way an elite facility. You do not give up that control. If you return in the conservation easement to section, let me find it for you. Section 7 on public access. Grantor hereby permits and will refrain from prohibiting or discouraging use of the protected property by the general public from low-impact outdoor residential recreational uses, walking, hiking, and goes on further to talk about this public access. There is nothing in that that suggests that the holder or the grantor has any ability to set up any hurdles about the socioeconomic status of the visitors. So I think that this is pretty well protected by state ownership as to what it will become in terms of who gets to use this place.
Thank you. Additional question?
That's fine.
Representative Brown?
I had essentially the same, Maine Coast Heritage Trust, are they going to be financially stable? Are they going to be responsible? Who's going to be responsible for the maintenance? Who's going to be responsible for the road? Who's going to be responsible for the management? And I think that those are the concerns that Representative Thomas addressed.
Thank you. Are there any other questions of the committee for Mr. Dickerson? Senator Diamond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Mr. Dickerson. I would ask you the same question I asked Mr. Gilway, and that is, in your opinion and your involvement with this whole project, what do you think would take place if this was not voted to continue today, confirmed today?
Well, I'm not sure I'm prepared to say whether this particular composition of the Joint Transportation Committee or a future composition of the Joint Transportation Committee should make this decision. That's your purview. But from my perspective, we've had a terrific three-year process that I've described here. There is a commitment of a very wide range of interested parties to move ahead with this at this time, to partially clear the air that has hovered around this island for 40 years. Will you be able to recapture this by not making that decision today? Will that wither? Possibly. I can't really predict that, whether that will occur or not. But I would urge the committee to not continue the stalemate that has surrounded use of this island for 40 years. That stalemate has benefited no one in Maine. And my prediction, if this is not approved, is that it will revert to a long period of stalemate, interrupted occasionally by gigantic confrontations between development and preservation. To what end, I cannot be sure, but I do not think that we should pass on this opportunity, and I think you have a chance to make a historic decision for Maine about a process that is a model for how to reach decisions on these controversial issues around the country.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Any other questions? Mr. Dickerson, thank you for your time today. And the third presenter and voice in this will be from the transportation community, and Mr. Grinrod, come up, please.
Good morning. My name is Bob Grinrod. I have been a member of the various committees going back about 3 years. And in my real life, I function as the president of the Montreal, Maine, and Atlantic Railway, which, as I always point out, is the red line on the map sitting on the easel back there. I'm going to abbreviate my remarks because I'd rather get to questions than anything else. Generally, the port interests, I think, find this agreement acceptable. It provides for 330 acres for port development and the balance of the island, roughly 600 acres for conservation uses of various types. The key study that was done on behalf of the Maine DOT. It is generally known as the Cornell Report, and it has been out since about last fall, I believe, and it is an extensive study as it relates to Steers Port of the market for and the requirements of a port at that place. The port would cost approximately $2 million. It would generate approximately 200 jobs. Pardon? What did I say?
2 million?
Oh, pardon me. Well, no one would believe
we'll,
that.
We'll take four of them, please.
Yeah. Based on tax rates and estimates, because they can only be estimates at this time, it would generate for the town of Searsport approximately, I think it's $1,650,000 in annual taxes on the fixed assets, that is, you know, the things built, you know, the wharves and the buildings and things of that nature, to the extent that there would be tax revenues that would accrue to either the state or to the town from the commercial activity that transpires within the port district. You know, we can only speculate at this point. I would say that this, as others have mentioned, has been going on for quite a number of years. My company was in the past the proud owner of Sears Island and was one of the people trying to develop it in the past. I would point to the very good summary report that has been written. I think it covers the points quite well. And what I would say is that from a port perspective, Sears Island and the Searsport port are uniquely sited and have unique advantages to be a good place for port expansion. There are relatively few places on the east coast of the United States where you have a combination of deep water, a protected area, and inland transportation that meets the qualifications and specifications of moving what would most likely be large volumes of containerized traffic rather than bulk materials. Bulk materials would continue to move through Mack Point, the existing port, and this would, the containers would most likely be on Sears Island. What I would say in general terms is that, you know, Maine needs the impetus in its economy. Even if all this traffic is going somewhere else, if every single box that comes and goes off a ship ends up in Chicago, the benefit to the Maine economy is still strong because of the number of jobs created and the cash flow that will come off this. And one must realize that to some extent this is going to benefit Maine shippers because they will have access to a system which otherwise couldn't be there because of volumes. At the end of the day, whether anything gets built out on Sears Island, you know, there are two ways of looking at it. Can you get a permit? Well, that's one whole set of issues, and I hope that the efforts that have been put in by the JUPC and previous groups have helped to make that process somewhat easier. If you think there's going to be no opposition to the construction of a port, even if this is all approved, I think you're not looking at things realistically. But I think that we have put ourselves in a much better position. I think we have gone over most of the issues, and I'll just leave you with a quote, because I think one thing that is on your minds is, you know, do we give away two-thirds of the island and then have a firestorm of opposition when it comes to the development of the remaining third for port purposes? I can only say that I believe the people from the conservation side who participated in this process did so in good faith, but I also recognize that every conservation group was not represented. So I'll leave you the words from another politician, trust but verify.
Thank you, Mr. Grinrod, and I'll recognize members of the committee for questions for Mr. Grinrod. If you'll allow, I'd like to open up.
Sure.
You talked about the annual tax revenue estimated to be somewhere around $1.65 million that would go to the municipality of Searsport. From a transportation perspective, and then looking at it in terms of the economy of the rest of Maine, what benefit would be derived by Maine and its economy, that whole generalized piece, from having a port facility developed on Sears Island, other than the obvious tax benefit to Searsport?
And employment and so forth. I mean, I think we can all understand that. There are many shippers in Maine now. I can name names if you like. Sappy Paper at Hinckley is one, who ships a good deal of their freight in and out of the state through other ports. Another one is L.L. Bean. You know, L.L. Bean has substantial amounts of traffic to come and go from the West Coast and come to Maine. Obviously, those would be candidates for movement of traffic through Searsport, rather than going somewhere else to do that. It would be more efficient and probably less costly for those main businesses who could take advantage of this opportunity to use Searsport rather than some of them use the Port of Montreal, some of them use the Port of New York, some of them use, well, we had a barge system that operated for a while that took containers from Portland to New York, but that's kind of an inefficient system. Sorry, Mr. Henshaw. So do I think others would use it? Certainly. I think benefits would accrue to the state because we were handling so much traffic that's going elsewhere. And, you know, it makes something available to Maine shippers and receivers that cannot otherwise be available because this is a volume business. You can't have a ship come in to Searsport or Portland or anywhere else and unload five containers and pick up three containers and sail off to Europe. Things don't work that way. if you don't have volume, it doesn't happen.
Thank you. Representative Masaryk, and then over here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning.
Good morning.
My question is, you said containers would be the big, rather than bulk materials.
I believe
right.
that would
believe
probably
that. Right.
be
and
the case.
My yeah. question would be like the railroads seems to be a key ingredient to get in this whole process because of the ability to get to the West Coast and to mm-hmm. the interior. Is there any, do you think in the future, and again, I'm not sure, it would seem to me, though, the rail line would probably should extend onto the island.
Oh, exactly.
And do you foresee that happening?
That is part of the process. If you have access to the Cornell study, the Cornell study pegged the cost of building the port at about, if I'm doing this from memory, $220 million. Well, that included the port facilities. It also included substantial road improvements adjacent to Searsport and the extension of the rail line onto the port facility itself, which can easily be done, and that was part of the initial plan when the causeway between the mainland and Sears Island was constructed, whenever that was done.
Yeah, it just makes
time.
Sense.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And over here, I'm going to let Representative Fisher go and then Representative Thomas.
Thank you. On a more good morning, on a more immediate issue, what is the number of people you have employed with the MMA?
This week,
yeah,
give or take 240. If you ask me, as of the 1st of June, the number would have been 310 or 15. The closure of the Catan paper mill, even if it is on a temporary basis, has not done good things for us.
If a port goes in, have you done any speculating on what it will do for the employment picture at the MMA?
Oh, it will certainly improve it, and it will, I would say, in and of itself, I mean, you know, you have to make certain assumptions that if someone is willing to invest the money to build the port, they have satisfied themselves that there will be sufficient traffic through the port to justify the investment. And you can speculate on, well, exactly how much traffic is that, but you can't really tell. It'll make all the difference in the world.
Jobs for the railroaders compared, pay-wise, compared to the average main worker. Good pay, average pay?
On average, I would say we probably pay, inclusive of benefits, and this is something fairly important, inclusive of benefits, $70,000 to $75,000 a year. We have done our best to maintain our benefit package, which is essentially free to the employees, and it's a full benefit, full medical, dental, life insurance, catastrophic insurance, and so forth. How long we can do that, I can't tell you, because the cost of that program in and of itself is going to rise 21% from 2008 till 2009.
One more question, and maybe I shouldn't ask the question. If the port does not go in, your parent company, not the best word this, what is the future for the MMA if the port does not go in?
Well, We are doing everything we can to generate as much traffic as possible through the port of Searsport already. We are working very hard, and we have representatives on the payroll in Europe, both in Western Europe and Eastern Europe, to develop traffic basically from Mack Point. And we are working on that, and we are also working on interesting port developers in Sears Island as a container port. And I will say that, I don't know, I'll turn around. Where are you? Can I mention this?
I can't read your mind. But go ahead. I can't say.
Perhaps you could answer it this way. Are there any people on the globe interested in the development of Sears Island as a port facility?
Yes.
Your knowledge. Thank you. I think that will suffice.
One more, if I may. We are dealing now with the MMA, the second major rail line in the state of Maine is, of course, the Maine Central or the Guilford system. Will this have a positive impact on them also?
On Guilford?
Yeah.
I think so. It has the potential to do so.
Okay. Thank you.
Perhaps a little, somewhat more limited, because we have the way you move containers is you put them in a freight car and you stack them up too high. And when you stack them up too high, they're in round numbers 21 feet tall. We have the ability to move traffic of that size from Searsport to our connections in Montreal today. No other work necessary. Guilford has, because Guilford is an older railroad and was built through the hearts of existing cities and towns, as you well know. You represent a lot of them. They have a lot of dimensional difficulties that would not allow them to handle double stacks, but they could handle the containers on a single level basis.
Thank you so much.
Recognizing that we are coming to the end of this particular portion of the meeting, I would ask that the questions be succinct and that the answers be likely so, and I'd like to have us take some action on the matter before us. Doing that, Representative Thomas.
Thank you. Mr. Glenrod, I've been told that Sears Island is one of the few places, or Searsport is one of the few places on the East Coast where the double stacks that you mentioned can be shipped to the Midwest, and that some of the other major ports in the country aren't able to do that. Is that the case?
Yes, that's true.
So that there would be an advantage to a shipper.
Oh, most definitely.
Because the cost would be much less if you can stack those containers too high.
I think that to get a direct route, let's say the object is to get to Chicago. To get a direct route, you either go through the Port of New York, which is congested and by modern standards too shallow, or you have to go as far south, I believe, as Charleston, North Carolina, before you avoid going through tunnels and clearance restrictions to get from the East Coast to the Midwest.
It would seem to me that Maine would be a hard place to operate a rail line. You've got freezing and thawing conditions that make it hard to keep a roadbed maintained. You've got long distances of railroad that need to be maintained, and low volumes of traffic. And it would seem like that anything that we could do that would add to that traffic would make it easier to keep a better rail line. And if we had a better rail line, would make shipping by rail more accessible to all shippers in the state of Maine. Is that a way that I should be connecting those dots?
It's a very good job. You should be on my board of directors.
Thank you.
Beware of what you wish for.
Yes, but you don't know who I have now.
Are there any other questions for Mr. Grinrod? Seeing none, thank you. Thank you for your time and your presentation. That concludes the presentation from the members of the Joint Use Planning Committee. Members of the committee, it's our responsibility at this point, it's our charge to come up with a recommendation of the report that has been submitted before us. I know on previous occasions we have expressed concerns with whether or not a transportation interest on Sears Island would in fact be developed. I don't know if those concerns in your minds have been allayed at all or not. I do know from a personal perspective that conservation, recreation, and education interests for Maine and the region look to be maintained with this agreement. I would hope that the transportation interests likewise would be served and maintained by this agreement. I see one as being quite certain. I see the other as being less so. But I think that's at the heart of the issue that we have been struggling with all along. I'll open it up for some comments from members of the committee and then entertain a motion and we'll move forward. Anybody wish to speak? Representative Hogan.
Thank you, Senator. I think procrastinating on this decision is probably not an option that I personally am not too fond of at this point. But I do still have concerns over the assurances that if we did ratify what this consent agreement is all about today, 10 years from now, it'll still be in place without any interruption, any expanding of boundary lines and things like that. If we can get past that, I don't have a problem with voting on this in the affirmative today. Thank you.
Thank you. Other members of the committee, Representative Thomas, then Representative Fisher.
I guess I have a couple questions. There are some parts of this agreement that trouble me. One of them is that the conservation easement is assignable. And we could find the holder of this conservation agreement being someone from outside of the state of Maine or even outside of the United States, the way I read it. That troubles me. So, and there are a number of areas that trouble me. Do we give up does the state give up the right of eminent domain? I think there's a question, and I've gone over it with the commissioner and some of the attorneys from the department, and maybe we do and maybe we don't. My question to the chair is, do we have to vote up or down the way it is, or can we send this back to be changed?
My response to the gentleman's question would be that the agreement has come to us for our acceptance, adoption, and approval or not. And I'm not seeing that, if I recall the legislation correctly, where it says that we couldn't ask that it be changed or that it does say it's a up or down vote. I don't recall that. I could be corrected if that were the case, but I guess my answer would be that we have a pretty full latitude of how we want to treat what's before us today.
That being said, then, I can vote for an agreement because I believe we need some sort of agreement to move this port forward. I cannot vote for this agreement because of the unanswered questions and some of the points that I brought up.
Thank you. Representative Fisher?
Well, we got a lot of written paper here today, and one of them had a couple of comments on I'd like to respond to. And one of them, I'm not going to go find it. It suggested that the committee was showing contempt of the environmental movement. I can't see anybody on this committee that looks upon the environmental movement with contempt. Suspicion, perhaps, but not contempt. I live in Maine. I'm from Ohio. I'm from away. I live in Maine in large part because of the environment. In the last 2 months, my wife and I have been on two trips, and the best part of both trips was going into the environment, going into visitor centers, education centers, and I look forward to such on Sears Island. We are not in contempt of the movement. We are just suspicious because of things that have happened in the past. Secondly, in I believe it was that same email, there was a comment about the financial crisis we're in today, and we are in one. We don't need it. We're in a financial crisis today. If we start today, it'll be 3-4 years before, at least, before this comes to fruition. By then, this down cycle, I hope, will have recovered. It happens time and time again. If we wait until it recovers, we'll never catch up with the rest of the world. The possibility that our opportunity will be grabbed by somebody else, that the Midwest states will take care of those problems that block the double stacks, for example, will put us in the back burner, and Maine will not progress. The MMA gentleman talked about the quality of jobs that will perhaps happen to the MMA and maybe even to the Guilford system, the expansion of those jobs. Look around you. Our people are in a bad way, low incomes or no jobs at all. We have to do something for economic development. It is essential that this happen. Should have happened 20 years ago. Think of where we'd be now. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Brown?
Thank you. I'd like to thank Representative Fisher. Of course, that's why he's the old guy and the smart guy. But I think he echoed most of our sentiments very well. I just have maybe one question for the Commissioner or someone in DOT, but is DOT prepared or are they preparing some type of a port proposal? You know, in other words, move this process forward. I think that's, as Representative Fisher pointed out, we're a little concerned that we don't want to give part of the farm away and then not have any place to live. So, you know, I think we want to make sure that there is some process
without
forward.
The Chair would recognize Commissioner of Transportation David Cole, and without a detailed plan of whether you have or you haven't, is the committee, is the department looking at trying to permit port on Sears Island?
In order to pursue a permit, we're anticipating the need of a private party to undertake this project. As Rod, Bob Grenrod stated, a port, as envisioned in the Cornell study, would be a $200 million investment. We do not anticipate that the state of Maine would ever have that kind of money, but it does lend itself well to a public-private partnership. Before a permit can be considered, therefore, a private party has to come forward and be willing to pursue this, because a permit's not considered till it's real and there's a design and you know what you're undertaking. This agreement would allow us to have a product to take out into the marketplace. Bob mentioned that there has been some interest, and that's absolutely correct, unsolicited on our part. But until we have something to show them on paper, it's like a business park in your town. Pretty hard to go out and just market a big field until you draw lines and have ordinances, land use plans, services. We're at that point. So the answer to that is, yes, we are prepared to pursue the opportunity. As a matter of fact, that we're working with the Maine Port Authority. John Henshaw is here today, and their members. It's a regular topic of discussion, and if this agreement is blessed by this committee, it would be our plans to move forward. We can't tell you at this point in time how that would look. We would probably be talking to people in the industry as to the best way to get this out into the market. But Mr. Grinrod's company has connections in Europe, and actually the interest that was shown was from one of their contacts. So the answer is yes.
Yes. Other questions or comments? Chair will recognize Senator Savage.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. First, I want to tell you that I lived in Searsport for 6 years back when I think it was maybe the coal-fired plant was proposed, and among other proposals. So I'm not unfamiliar to what's preceded all of this. I want to say that I really appreciate the efforts of all who were involved in helping to negotiate this agreement. Personally, I would like to have seen more of the island set aside for transportation uses, but I do understand the need for a compromise. I continue to be concerned, though, that even after all the work and the compromises that have been met, there are still some who are unwilling to allow a port to be built on that portion of the island that has been reserved for transportation. A container port on Sears Island is important to the state of Maine as we look to the future. It is a unique and important piece to transportation and our economy. The economic future of Maine is too important to be jeopardized by some who are not satisfied by the compromise and want the whole island. I will accept the agreement, including the conservation easement, but I must be assured that a port will be permitted there, too. So, Mr. Chair, I offer a proposal for the committee's consideration. I move the compromise agreement, including the conservation easement reached by the Sears Island Joint Use Planning Committee, be accepted in principle, but left unsigned by this committee until a port is permitted on Sears Island. The Transportation Committee will submit a bill to the 124th Legislature directing the Maine Department of Transportation to move forward with all practical speed to see that a port is permitted on Sears Island. Once that permit is in hand, the agreement before us today will be signed. Thank you.
That's in the form of a motion?
That is.
Is there a second?
Second.
It's been moved and seconded. Can I summarize that by saying that you have that written down, obviously, that your motion is that the conservation easement that is presented and before us today be accepted, but left unsigned until a bill is? A bill is put before?
The Transportation Committee will submit a bill to the 124th Legislature directing the Department of Transportation to move forward with all speed to permit the island.
The port is permitted?
Yes.
And once that
permit is in hand,
then this
agreement will be signed.
And that was the basis of your second, Representative Masaryk?
Yes.
I'm going to have to turn to our analyst. What would it take, Karen, for us to get a committee bill to the legislature? A joint order? And we would request the joint order of who? Presiding officers? Or just, how does that go? Okay. Just one second, please. Is this pertinent to the joint order? I'll allow it, if you will. Ms. Tilburg.
Thank you so much. I think most of you don't know Karen Tilburg.
Why don't you come right up to the mic?
Greetings. Thank you so much. I'm Karen Tilburg, and I think you all remember me. I came before you a year and a half ago with the agreement that came out of the joint use the Sears Island Planning Initiative. And recognizing that you have been giving a great deal of thought about all this, I do just want to mention what I think is an important fact, at least that I believe to be true. When the agreement was signed, and as others have indicated, it was signed by 38 of us, including myself, and I was one of the three co-chairs of that effort. The anticipation had been and has been, I think, since then, that the Joint Use Planning Committee would take the constructs of that agreement and detail them and bring them back. But if the basic agreement is not ultimately approved by this committee, I think it is fair to say that those who signed it really would essentially be released from it and then would have to reconsider whether to re-sign whatever it is that you come up with. People signed that agreement in the very specific terms of it, and I'll just speak again about how hard and arduous and the great deal of compromise that went into that. So any basic changes to that construct, I think, would essentially release the signatories to that. And I just say that so that you would not be surprised and think that there was anything amiss if people chose to not retain their commitment to an agreement that had been altered by you in some major way. And I may be wrong in that, but I do want to at least raise that issue, because the timing of all of this was something that was deeply considered and discussed. So I think your motion, while I understand the intent and you know, the goodwill in it, is, I think, would be considered by some to be a major change in the terms of the agreement. So that's why I bring that up.
Thank you, Ms. Tilburg. I did not hear anything in the motion that would be intended to structure, to change at all, the agreement that is before us. So I appreciate your concern. Recognize Senator Savage and then Representative Miley.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Karen, if I may.
Yes.
It's not my intention to make any changes in this agreement. My intention is to protect that portion that has been carved out for a port facility from others that were not involved. I believe everyone that served on that committee served in good faith, and I respect I don't have a problem with the agreement. What I have a problem is with those who were not involved making a big effort to prohibit any port facility on that 300 acres. And I believe it can be done. I mean, I've been through some of these firms back. I mean, one in particular that I remember at the Belfast Armory, that the police protected my car because it had legislative plates on it.
I know the history has been so hard, and I think
so this is. I just didn't want you to misunderstand my thought on this. I'm protecting the port. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you. So quickly they forget. Because I wanted to clarify that too, as far as, so you're not talking about any changes to the.
No.
Are you thinking that the time and peace is a
yes.
breach or whatever, if you will? But the other thing is, Senator Savage, basically you're saying the committee accepts the agreement. I mean, there's a acknowledgement that this is the agreement that's in hand. I mean, did people go into this thinking that this was a time-sensitive? I mean, does it say that in the document that this offer expires in 24 hours? I mean, I think that's a fair question to ask, because unfortunately the legislative process, good or bad, does not go that quickly. So, you know, there's no guarantee that as soon as this would be.
I think maybe, you know, just so that I'm clear.
No, and I think it's fair that you brought this up.
My sense is that there was, and my strong recollection was that we talked a great deal about whether to wait on the conservation component until a port application had been submitted and or approved.
Mm-hmm.
And the decision of the group was not to make that conditional. So it was a substantive part of the discussions of the group that signed the agreement. And that's what I'm alerting you to.
Yeah, okay.
And that's all. I want to alert you to the fact that that was discussed, and specifically by the Sears Island Planning Initiative, and was part of the contemplation of expectations around the agreement. And the agreement, I think, you know, and contemplated you know, the process that has followed the Joint Use Planning Committee effort, and then in time, in fair time, bringing it forth to you. But I think the point I'm trying to raise is that holding in abeyance the easement and waiting until an application had been submitted and perhaps approved was essentially a term of the agreement that had been discussed, and it was decided not to hold it in abeyance. And please, if I'm wrong, you know, I'm a little rusty on this, but I ask all of you to confirm or not confirm that statement. And since I was a co-chair of that effort, I felt you should at least know my thinking on that.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
I see nowhere in the agreement, however, that it would say to this committee or to this legislature that if this is not accepted now, that it is off the table. And essentially, what you're intimating is that there may be signatories to that agreement who would think that because it's not accepted now and signed now, that they can rescind their signatories to it. And to me, that's I don't know what the expectations were, whether they were realistic or unrealistic, but I know what the effort was, and the effort was to come together with an agreement that was going to provide for the use, the joint use, of Sears Island and to submit that agreement to the committee of the legislature having jurisdiction over that. That has been done. That committee has met. And we are now recommending how to move forward with that agreement. I don't see that that voids this agreement in any way.
I guess my point, Senator, and you know, bear with me, please, because this is very, you know, it's very important to clear this up. When you sign your name onto an agreement, you're signing to what is in that agreement. I signed that agreement. I stand by that agreement. That is my word. If someone subsequently comes up with a different approach, I am not bound to the new approach. I am bound to what I've agreed to. That's all I'm saying.
Right. And
it's very
so the,
personal to
so,
people.
So the agreement, that's my point exactly. The agreement stands. Now, in that agreement, there was nothing that I saw which says this is how now, if you accept this agreement, Transportation Committee, this is how you will approach this agreement. That was certainly not anything that I saw, either being party to the discussions within the agreement or as it's been presented here to the committee. And so to intend otherwise, that this committee would, by signing the agreement, not be able to move in a direction that it felt was responsible, I think is unrealistic.
I guess my point is that any discussions around the agreement and in the final deliberations and acceptance of that by some 38 people, people that sign that agree to what that world is. And part of that world was the clear expectation that an easement would not be held in abeyance until a port application was signed. That's my point.
Mm-hmm.
And if you as a committee decide a different approach, that is certainly your prerogative. But that isn't what people agree to, is my point.
Thank you. Understood. It is the responsibility of this committee and indeed of this legislature to set policy for the entire state of Maine. And if we would use this agreement, which has been so difficult to craft and so important in that policy, if we use that as part of setting that policy, that's a responsibility of this committee. That's my point entirely, and I understand yours. Senator Diamond, please, and then we'll move forward with the motion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to offer procedural compromise for consideration by the chair and by the chairs and by the committee. Understanding the delicacy of this agreement and all the various forces and interests that got involved with it, I think maintaining the integrity of that agreement is very important. Also understand that Representative Thomas has made some good points, as have others, that there are some things in this that cause some people some concern. So for the committee's consideration, I would propose that we, in fact, sign a vote for this agreement, as we've done, but also have supporting legislation, which has already been talked about, that would include any timelines. It would include any restrictions and anything else that this committee wants to include in that legislation that would bring forth the very concern that Senator Savage pointed out in her motion. In other words, that legislation would be our supporting safety net to all the concerns that have been proposed and mentioned today. So in end, we would have, in fact, signed the agreement, maintained the integrity, realizing the delicacy of all the forces out there, but at the same time given ourselves the legislative prerogative of whatever kind of direction we want to take from this point forward.
Thank you, and I was trying to differentiate between the two, the motion that's before us and the compromise position that you suggest, and I think that the differentiation that I see is that on the one hand, you would have the committee assign the agreement today, and on the other, on the motion before us, it simply is that we accept the agreement and agree with it, but leave it unsigned. Is that really where you're
at? That is. Sensing that, I think what Ms. Tilburg has said and others, that by not signing it, it could then unleash a whole flood of different directions and strategies and techniques. If we signed it, we bind it up by signing it, but we also as part of the record and part of our procedure, then set forth with our own legislation to do the things that Senator Savage and others have mentioned.
Appreciate that. I guess my final thought on that proposal is that based on Ms. Tilburg's comment, Ms. Tilburg's comments, it would seem as though if we did anything, whether the agreement was signed or unsigned, it is outside of the parameters which were somehow assumed within the group that has worked so hard on this conservation easement and this agreement. And I can't personally, as a member of the legislature and certainly as a member of this transportation committee, give up my right, my authority, and my duty to the entire state in terms of setting policy by being constrained by what I think or I am told a group of people felt that would happen. So whether it's signed or it's unsigned, to me, is somewhat immaterial, and though I can appreciate the concern of others and certainly respect the compromise being brought forth by Senator Diamond. Are there other comments? Representative Marley, and then Representative Masaryk.
If I may ask a question of John Clark. Typically when we have legislation or we review, because I keep hearing people say we sign off. I mean, what is our next task as far as do we have to give verbal agreement to this? Is there actually a signature that's required? How do we...
That's a sort of important, I guess, clarification just in terms of terminology.
For the audience who doesn't have the privilege of being able to sit here and watch you, could you tell us who you are?
Oh, I apologize.
I'm John Clark, the Deputy Director of OPLA, and in this capacity serving as counsel for the committee. It's my understanding that there's no signatory role for this committee as such with regard to the agreement. The agreement has come with the various signatories to this committee.
Mm-hmm.
The committee is then in the role of making its decision under the statute as to whether you approve it or not, and obviously with whatever conditions you might wish to add to that, which is obviously within this committee's purview. And I think as a clarification, it would be helpful to actually have the legislation that you're talking about be this sort of final step. In terms of committee makes its determination with whatever conditions, and then that going forward next session with legislation that says specifically, here's the authority of the department, here's the conditions in terms of going forward, because that's in a sense what you're actually signing off on is the department's actual action going forward with regard to conveying an easement for mitigation bank purposes and the conditions under which they would do that act.
May I?
I just want to pick up on that piece. You mentioned something about the authority to convey an easement for a mitigation bank, and that, as you recognize, ladies and gentlemen, the committee is the second kind of report that we have before us, and it is this, as I mentioned it at the outset of the meeting, it's the one with the pictures of Sears Island on the cover. It is an application by the department to, I don't know whom, somebody in the federal government, maybe the Army Corps of Engineers, to use an umbrella mitigation bank for not only the purposes of Sears Island, but also for broader purposes as they may pertain to projects within the Department of Transportation in the rest of the state. That has not been approved at this particular point, and there may be some question as to whether or not there is sufficient authority in statute to allow the Department of Transportation to convey such interest. If, for instance, this motion were to succeed, I believe you said that there would be a bill submitted, it's very conceivable that that bill could include that language, which would give the authority to the department. So I see it as a reasonable thing. I'm going to go with Representative Marley, then Representative Thomas. Are there others who wish to speak? If not, I'd like the other two, and then we'll move the question.
Well, just because I do appreciate Ms. Tilburg coming forward and saying there's concerns about that. how I've always viewed it was that this was an agreement that was coming forward basically for us to vote up and down, but that this wouldn't be the end of the process. It seems like people feel like this might be the end of the process. And I'm hearing from you, if I'm correct, that this is really kind of the beginning of the process. This is sort of where there's mutual agreement, but there's all these other pieces that still need to be. Am I accurate about that?
I don't want to say that if you decided you wanted to approve this, that you couldn't just as a committee make a decision and that the department, you know, legally couldn't go forward. I think there are questions, at least in my mind, about how clear that is.
Okay.
And given the controversy surrounding this project over the years, clarity is probably a good thing. So I think that the sort of the series of events that you're describing leading up to legislation, which would clearly state, here's the authority, here's the conditions, if there are going to be any conditions, would provide a good clarity in the situation, which I think clarity is to be
desperately needed.
Needed.
Thank you.
Representative Thomas, and then
yes, I could support Senator Savage's motion because a lot of the concerns that I've voiced, we'd have time. Some of them, like, for example, is that 7% or is a mill rate of 7 on the payments that would be made? And would the state be obligated? Would the taxpayers be obligated? Some of those things, that would give us time to clear some of those up. They don't change the agreement, but there seem to be some questions. So I do believe there needs to be some clarity, and Senator Savage's motion would give us that opportunity, and I would support it.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Masaryk, and then we'll finish with Senator Diamond.
Thank you, Senator. The only comment I have, it seems like what I would like to do is secure the agreement. And I think we're at a point, and we've been told that if we go with the legislative route, the agreement will not be secure. People are possibly thinking of withdrawing. I don't know whether Senator Diamond's proposal secures that agreement and then allows us to use the legislative process. Maybe somebody can clarify that, because I got a feeling that if we go ahead and we vote for Senator Savage's, I can see people already beginning to say, well, that's not the agreement we signed, and we're going to bail out. And I think we've put too much time and effort into this. So before we hastily make a vote, I would like to try to get to the bottom of that a little better and secure that agreement a little bit more. And I don't like the idea of being threatened by outside sources. I think that we have this responsibility as a legislative body, and I think we should exercise it, but I want to make sure we can do it to the best of our ability. That's all I wanted to say.
Appreciate it. I am still unclear as to how having us accept this agreement as it is presented to us, and then looking at fashioning broader policy based around this agreement would allow people who have signed the agreement to back away from it. I'm still unconvinced as to how that would. No.
I agree with what you're saying, and I don't think we're changing the agreement whatsoever by Senator Savage's.
No, I don't either.
So I don't understand the interpretation.
I don't understand the concern. I said that Senator Diamond, was there somebody here? All right. Then yours will be the last, Senator Diamond.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think we have to look at this in two different worlds. There's the legislative world, which we all pretty much understand on this committee, and then there's the world out there that dealt with these negotiations for all this time. And I think there are some who would just as soon look for and determine the consequences of anything we do, and if we don't sign this or we don't agree to it, then I'm just concerned it's going to unravel everything that's been done. I just think there's people who take advantage of that. Senator Savage's motion, I think, is a step in that direction. But no matter what we do with an agreement, whether this agreement or anyone else's, the legislature has full right and duties to do whatever they want to do. And so by the mere fact that we do something after this, does not consequent this agreement no more than it would any other agreement. We have the right to do that, and I think we need to take that into consideration. I'm just concerned that if we don't put a nail in this baby, it's going to float away. And I think there are a lot of folks who would like to have it float away. So I could live with the motion, except that I'm afraid that between the time this legislation is put together and the time that we get it passed, this other thing could have dissolved, at least partially. And I don't think we want that to happen, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Representative Fisher, last word.
Thank you, both Senator Diamond and Senator Damon have kind of made the point that I want to make, but you got to understand that at least from my viewpoint, and I would guess probably some of the members of the committee, if not all of them, we look at this list, and certainly is a list of people who have great credentials. But in the final say, Sears Island is owned by the people. The people's dollars paid for it, and it is in the hands of those of us in the legislature, the people's elected officials, as to how it is dealt with. We share, the 12 of us here today, and the burden of trying to do the right thing with the people's money, the people's investment. And it's an agonizing decision that we have to make. I wonder if we allow this to be signed. That's a contract. Can the legislature break that contract?
All right. And with that, that clears it up a lot, so let's vote. It is a question, and I don't know. I guess I would refer it to our counsel, Mr. Clark. The question that ended this discussion was, if we sign this now and it becomes a contract, does the legislature have the authority to break that contract? That was, in essence, your question, wasn't it?
Yeah, I don't think there's any contract that's going on between the legislature or this committee and the various parties. They've come up with an agreement in terms of how they want to go forward. If this committee says fine, then they could go forward. And if they do go forward and there's legislation that's later passed, if they've actually conveyed the easement, which I think is, given my understanding of all the factors here, I don't believe that the actual easement will be conveyed until late this coming year or beyond, because I believe it's contingent upon a certain approval, for instance, of this Army Corps filing. So I don't think the easement will actually be conveyed until after this next session. So I don't think, at least in my own mind, that anything materially will have changed legally between now and the time the legislature has an opportunity to act. So if you say yes or no at this point,
there's a sidebar going on here. We'll take some time while councils confer. It's all right. We're almost there. We're almost to the point where we're going to vote.
We're doing well and staying on track.
Yeah, I see we are.
Okay, a point of clarification. I was under some misinformation that I thought I had understood before. It's my understanding from the department that they might prefer to wait for this application with the Army Corps, but that they feel they could go forward even before that application was approved, which would suggest that they could, in fact, convey the easement before the legislature would have the opportunity to take action. Whether they would actually do that, whether they would actually take that action before waiting for the Corps to approve the bank into which they anticipate this land going is a question I can't answer. But that's a clarification. I was indicating that they really couldn't go forward. It appears they could go forward, whether they would or not. But that's, again, sort of a side issue. Your question was, is there a contract? You wouldn't be signing a contract, so I don't think there's anything that would be – you wouldn't put yourself in a legal difficulty if you say yes at this point to the for the proposal that's come before you, and the legislature will still have the opportunity, I think, next session to take whatever actions it chooses to take, and I'm doubtful, but I don't want to say that it won't happen, that they will actually convey the easement before you have an opportunity in the next legislature to take that action. It sounds like
thank you, but you see right now, this issue now is at the core of, I think, Ms. Tilburg's concern that we were somehow changing the agreement that was so difficult to craft between all of the signatories. They were looking at it, again, according to testimony, as if this were going to be the agreement. Now, if in subsequent to that, we have another agreement which allows a umbrella mitigation bank or another agreement, which is what's on the table before us now as a motion to have the legislature direct the DOT to pursue permitting a port, anything that we do beyond this, is that going to release the signatories to this agreement? I mean, if it is, it's not much of a commitment to the by the signatories to this agreement, signatories. So it is a rhetoric question. That's a concern. I understand. So that's where I am with this now, and I appreciate, I think, Representative Fisher for bringing this up. Representative Miley.
Well, to go back to what Senator Dine was saying, you know, I think we are four steps ahead of where we have to be. I think he's saying we need to decouple these things as far as, because that's why when everyone kept saying signatures, I felt like we were obligating the state. I think we are acknowledging if we agree with this committee's work or not. And if we do, then we move to that next step, which is to address all the things that Mr. Clark has talked about as far as do we go forward with the easement? Is there even the authority to convey the land? You know, there's a lot of pieces, but it sounds like we're really being asked to look at this one isolated piece and that there is, and I do have to agree, though, I don't see this change in the agreement. I respect, and I wasn't there for the meetings and the passion and all that piece that goes there, but I mean, right now we're being asked to look at this agreement in isolation. And I understand that, but the people that signed it have to understand this isn't done in a vacuum. And even if it gets, we approve it, there's going to be steps beyond this. But I think it allows the department to move forward. I liked the commissioner's analogy of like a business park or something. You have a product that you can move forward and start talking about and saying this is what. So I'm very torn. I see this agreement as a separate piece. I could support Senator Savage's piece, but I think Senator Dine has made a very good point as far as how I see it. Senator's decoupling the two, and we're focusing simply on the agreement at this point, and it doesn't obligate the state. It basically says we acknowledge what the committee's done, and we agree with that.
Thank you. I'm going to wait with Representative Thomas and listen to your idea. Senator Dine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If the committee decides they want to go with Senator Savage's motion, could we at least then make a statement as part of that that say, if we do, that we support the port action, support the agreement that's been done to this point, and noting, and the motion speaks for itself, but make that statement as a committee so that we've kind of inched up as close as we can possibly get to it without voting for it as per se. So there's no misconceptions, there's no misinterpretation as to what our intentions are.
And so that's a little different maybe from accepting the conservation easement but leaving it unsigned. We do want to make a statement because I think I'd be willing to do that. I've unequivocally said that I accept this work that's been done by the Joint Use Planning Committee. I do, and I don't want to step back away from it, and I'd like to have the committee support it. The piece that I like about the proposed amendment is that it now is the next step, which is directing the department to move forward to getting a port permitted, and let's get that done with post haste and not let this agreement get in the way of it. That's where I am with it.
And so I
certainly would go ahead with that.
If we had a unanimous vote, then I'm not just suggesting we're going to, but if we had a unanimous on both of those pieces, that
would
send a
strong message. I think it's a very
strong
signal. That's a good thing. Representative Thomas.
I guess my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that if we do not accept Senator Savage's motion and we approve the agreement, then we are giving the Department of Transportation, because there's already enabling legislation, we are giving the Department of Transportation permission to sign and convey the conservation agreement away. And once that's done and recorded, or once that's done and signed away, then we can do whatever we want, but we've signed a legally binding document, and our vote here gives the department the right to sign that and convey that.
I don't know if I would characterize it in just those words, but I think you have, and I think it is correct what you have said. We need to move forward with this vote. I like the statesmanship and the compromising thought that Senator Diamond had, which would be if we voted for the motion, that we would then, if we did, and it was approved, that we would subsequently make a statement and a vote on it, which moves us in that direction. I'd let you bring that forward. All right. Time has come. Motion before us is to accept the, I'm going to try to paraphrase this. If I leave anything out, let me know, to accept the negotiated conservation easement, but to leave it unsigned temporarily, and that we, this committee, seek the authority to report out a bill to the 124th Legislature of the State of Maine, instructing the Maine Department of Transportation to pursue the permitting of a port on the island of Sears in the port of Searsport, and once that permit is signed, that the conservation easement will then become signed. Is that the essence of your motion?
Yes.
That's what we're voting on. All those in favor of that motion, so signify by raising your hand, and keep your hands up so the vote can be recorded. Voting yay are Representative Masaryk, Representative Rosen, Senator Diamond, Senator Savage, Senator Damon, Representative, I always forget this, Marley, Representative Brown, Representative Fisher, Representative Hogan, Representative Thomas, Representative Terrio, Representative Hogan, and Representative Peoples. It's unanimous with all those present and voting. Thank you very much, committee. Would you wish to have us move forward with another statement?
Mr. Chairman,
Senator Diamond.
I would make a motion that this committee issue a corresponding statement to that previous vote that states our support for this project, and that the and for the agreement, and that we as a committee would look as a committee would support the development as stated in the agreement.
Is there a second to that motion?
Second.
Representative Peoples has seconded. It's been moved by Senator Diamond and seconded by Representative Peoples that this committee would support a statement supporting the actions that have been taken by the Joint Use Planning Committee to date and work to help implement those. Is that roughly what you have?
Sure.
Discussion on the motion? Representative Thomas?
Where does that leave my concerns?
I don't think it leaves those out in the cold at all, because your concerns, I think, can be addressed with the previous motion, which included the inclusion of a legislative document, and your concerns can be addressed there, I really believe. Representative Fisher?
I would like included in that the development of both the port facility and the environmental facility.
That's the intent.
Thank you for clarifying that. I'm going to ask that you actually help with the wording of that. All right. Any other concerns? Then let's move the question. All in favor of the motion, so signify by raising your hand. It's unanimous of those members present. Any opposed? There are none. Thank you very much. Members of the Joint Use Planning Committee, members of the public who weren't members of the committee but have always shown a deep interest in this, thank you for your time. Stay involved. Help us work through this as we continue to move forward to try to develop a resource which has as much uniqueness as any in the state of Maine to provide for conservation, education, recreation, and economic development. Thank you. This portion of the meeting of the Joint Standing Committee on Transportation has finished.